first chapter, we will probably be in it tonight. We're going to talk about, there's some no mores in this chapter. Between the 21st chapter and the 22nd chapter, you'll find seven total no mores. In the very first verse of the 21st chapter, it talks about one of them. But in the very first chapter, as we had last night out of the book of Isaiah, talking about a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It said, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, before I get into the no mores, I don't want to leave the very first part of this chapter, because what we started with last night over in the book of Isaiah, he made mention and he showed you about a new heaven and a new earth. And we discussed that and talked about that. So he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. No more. Now, as we had, I'm going to have to go back to Isaiah, but as we had in the book of Isaiah, where he said that he'd make a new heaven and a new earth, as far as that goes, he said he'd make what? Jerusalem. And then the people would be a joy. So for there to be a new heaven and a new earth, the old had to be done away with. A lot of folks like to take this chapter and put it out further. I'll say that. At the end. You'll hear that more common than you'll hear anything. But I'm not gonna tell you that. I'm not gonna teach that to you. That first heaven and first earth that passed away was that of the old order. The old. I've got a lot of verses as far as that goes that I'm probably going to get around to. I'm going to try to get around to.
Them old things are passed away. Paul said it
like this, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that happens individually. Personal. It's a personal thing. But Paul in a day that the old order was still in force. It should have been gone. It should have been done away with. And he called in a manner that the new was here. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he also said, the life which he now lives, he lived in Christ. As I said last night, I can't help it. I'm getting back and forth, I guess, tonight. But nonetheless, in that they lived under was no more. It was done away with. It was abolished. It was, the truth of it was null and void.
When the Lord came into this world, he come to bring salvation. And that's what he brought. And that's what we feed off of. That's what feeds us. That's how we live our life. If you've been born again because you've been saved, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it had you not been saved. Had you not been born again. It wouldn't mean, old saying is, it wouldn't mean beans to you. It just wouldn't mean nothing to you. But once you get saved, you're living. We sang that song, and I know I mentioned it. When I get around to this, I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me. Amen. So John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There was no more sea. Why did he say that?
Because a gap had been.
No more chaos and separation.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear that? Do you believe that? I can't help but to. Because I've had numerous people down through the years to ask me, no more sea, what's he talking about? Had a man tell me one night, we was teaching on the book of Revelation, he said, Randy, he said, you teach it too simple. I said, it's not hard. It's not difficult. The Lord didn't make it difficult. John didn't make it difficult. In the first chapter, he tells you that, and it was symbolic. Signs and symbols is what a lot of the Revelation is. But it was referring to the old and the new. We're not living in the old. We don't live in the old. I read a lot in the Old Testament. I preach from the Old Testament quite a bit. But I normally wind up in the new. Because it takes the old to have the new. We wouldn't have it.
You can't understand it unless you read it.
Right.
You can't understand the new unless you read
it. Well, that's the key. That's a big key. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not getting on to anybody. But it has a lot to do with your desire to know.
Yeah.
you don't have much of a desire to know anything about the Word of God, you say, preacher, you ought not say that. We got a world full of them. We got churches full of them. We got people that don't read their Bible. Let me rephrase that. We got people that does not study. Mm-hmm. And there's the difference.
And they refuse to read it in context.
Well, yeah. Take this and that. And
I was saying, I know someone that's read it all the way through a few times, but then if you ask them something, they're like, oh, I don't know. Because you've just read it. You ain't ate it. You've just read it.
Yeah. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, it don't come automatic.
No.
I mean, you don't get in the Word of God and just open it up. He just reveals it all to you. It don't happen. Now, it may for you, but it never has for me. It's took time. It just took time on things that I really wanted to know. I mean, really wanted to know. And I wondered sometimes, why in the world can't you show me? The truth of it is, he was showing. But it took some other things. There's a verse in the book of Genesis that I went several years. And don't ask me why, but I couldn't get it. When he gave it to me, I was actually preaching. And I remember vividly, I just started shouting. They didn't know what I was shouting about. They really didn't. It's amazing what people think. But the truth of it is, he'll show you in his time when you need him. But, I say again, that it depends on your desire. How much you really want to know. There's a...
Randy, can I say something before you get too far past it about this? No more sin. I think you're talking about in that new heaven and earth and just on earth. And I thought about this verse over here. In Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. The waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Wicked is all they in there.
Right.
Because it's all about the church.
Mm-hmm. Not part of it.
Not part of it. Anyway, I just want to get that out before you go too far down the road.
A lot of people don't know or don't realize that a lot of times when he's talking about waters, he's actually talking about people. In a lot of cases. Not all, but in a lot. He is. So a new heaven and a new earth. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And before I get past this first verse, anybody else get any time? You want to say, bring out. Last time, and give a bunch of opportunity. people. So then he starts, in the second verse, he saw something else. He said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So here he makes mention of a New Jerusalem. And we talked last night about the book of Isaiah. Because he said he'd create Jerusalem. A rejoicing in her people of joy. That was what he was going to create. A lot of folks are looking for New Jerusalem over yonder. I don't think I'm wrong. If you'll read and study your Bible, he wasn't talking about Jerusalem. A lot of folks lay a lot of emphasis on Israel, Jerusalem, as being God's people. Well, that day changed. That day changed when he come and brought salvation. His people is them that will open their heart and let him in. And that's the Jew. It's what Paul said. Paul said that it's not a Jew that's one outward, but it is a Jew that is one inward. Inward. You've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, you're not part of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And the New Jerusalem has come down.
Amen.
He saw it coming down. He said, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Must have been beautiful. Don't you think what he saw must have been beautiful, glorious? There's no reason that we as God's people have any reason in this world to hang our head. You are chosen. You're one of His. You're a son of God. You've been born again. He bought you. You're His. And the truth of it is, that is new. That wasn't the old order of things. Now, a lot of folks, and I get a little ticked or perturbed at me because Israel over yonder today is no more than me and you. And if they want to make it, they're going to have to be born again. That was the message. That was what Jesus was bringing. He didn't bring salvation to them and not to the Gentile. He gave it to the Gentile as well as the Jew. Makes no difference what your nationality is. Makes no difference what your past is.
Amen.
He don't go on your past. The truth of it is, He saves you from your past. And it's the past. Leave it there.
Amen.
Forget it. Go on. Move on. Well, preacher, I've done a lot of things. It don't matter. I can't preach you that God won't save you for a certain reason outside of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, which is unbelief in his spirit. You reject his calling, you'll die and go to hell. Doesn't matter who you are. Preacher, you ought not preach to us today. I can't help it, I can't. Sometimes my teaching becomes preaching and there ain't nothing I can do about it. You might look at this and say, there's a world full of people out there that don't believe what we believe. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. But I also know where my joy and where my peace comes from.
Amen.
I know what I have on the inside. Don't you?
Amen.
I know that I've been born again.
Amen.
I know that.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me. You know what? He blesses me because I have been born again.
Yeah.
He'll bless you too. He'll bless us all. If it ain't a new world when you get saved, you didn't get it.
Amen.
Bottom line,
yeah.
I'm just going to say this, and I know that you know this, but when men, women, boys, and girls gets born again, you do not have to tell them.
Yeah.
They'll know it. You know it. They'll know it. They'll know it without a doubt. If they come down to the altar for the right purpose and the right reason, brethren, God will save them. Bar any. He ain't going to ask them what you've done. He already knows what you've done. He's not worried about your past. He wants to save you, thank God, and make you a new creature. Whoa!
Thank you.
He does. What he wants. He wants us now.
Yeah.
He wants us now to be a rejoicing. A rejoicing. A new heaven and a new earth. They ain't one going to be after a while, folks. No, sir. You leave this world, thank God you'll go one of two places.
Amen.
What the book teaches.
Amen.
I'll try to hush in just a minute. There's no reason, and I know I'm preaching to the choir this evening, but brethren, you ain't going to get by just because you said that you've been saved.
Yeah.
Ain't going to work. What do you mean ain't going to work, preacher? It ain't going to work unless God's in your heart.
Amen.
That's what born again is. That's what he comes in. He changes things. Don't ask me why I'm preaching to you about being born again. But the truth of it is, it takes it.
Yes.
And not just that, that's what the new heaven and the new earth is.
Amen.
The church of the living God.
Amen.
Glory to God. It's the bride.
Amen.
Woo! The bride. The husband.
Yeah.
Thank God he is the maker of us all. And glory to God, he loves us. Woo! And he's given us more and more to use today.
Amen.
Yes, he has. Hallelujah.
Yeah, bless the Lord.
Preach your name, God. Get excited. I can't help it. No reason.
Yeah,
no
bless
way,
you,
no porn fashion. I tell you these, I think about, I know, and I could probably say some things that would probably hurt some things, but I'll say this. Vacation Bible School gets in them children's hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll do it. These songs, the verses in the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of younguns that leave here, and this Proverbs will not ever leave them.
Yeah.
It'll be stuck. Now, what they do with it's going to be up to them when they come up through the years, but they'll never get away from what they get this week.
Yeah. Bless the Lord.
And they won't. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It'll stick with them. Listen, folks, it's got to start somewhere.
Amen.
It's the reason you have Vacation Bible School. Help some of these around the community night that don't go. Yeah. Don't have the means to go.
Yeah.
Some of them ain't taught.
Yeah.
Like you was taught when you was brought up.
A lot of them.
This day and time is a beaucoup of them, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's more than you can number.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm going to say this, and I
bless
can't help it, brethren, tonight, but there's a lot of church members, thank God, that needs to get their heart right with God.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Bless
you. Church members, people that said they've been born again. Brethren, you need to find you a good old church and back it. Glory to God, and let God bless you.
Amen.
Woo! He'll bless you tonight.
Amen.
He will. He don't have no problem. He don't have, brethren, no end to what he can do for you tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He'll save your kindred. It's come. There's no need me trying to back it off. It's no reason. I know what
I said.
But I'll tell you, brethren, John saw some things. He saw some things, brother. You know what he saw? He saw the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said that she come down, Crafton, as a bride. Prepared for her husband. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a joy.
Yeah.
What a blessing. Woo.
Yeah, bless him, Lord.
He told old John over there, little further in this chapter, he said, come up hither.
Yeah.
Come up hither. He said, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who's that?
Church.
The church.
Yeah.
The church. It's the church. Preacher, it can't be. It's the church, folks.
Amen.
That's what he brought into this world. That's the new beginning. Peter said it. He preached it. He said he's brought salvation. 3,000 souls were saved. Hallelujah. That's what the beginning of the church was.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Lord.
Now, I'm going to say that it takes me and you to have a church.
Yeah.
This day.
Yeah.
I know we're... What, 2026? A little over 2,000 years? Brethren, but you are the church. You are the bride.
Yeah.
You are the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
That's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've got some foundation. We got some foundations. Truth of it is, we've got 12 foundations. Preacher, you can't preach that. That's what the 21st chapter says. He said, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife, and you see if he didn't tell him the next thing about 12 foundations. Yes, sir. 12 gates.
Yeah.
Did he not? And brethren, he showed you some walls of jasper. Yes, sir. Chrysolite. Topaz. Go and read it adjacent. Folks, that's the church of the living God, the most precious thing that God has ever left in this world.
Amen.
Woo! And he didn't leave her, thank God, without something to work with. We've got something to work with today if we'll just use it. If we'll just use it. But it takes us, folks. It takes us. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but there's a lot of churches that would love to have the Spirit of God like you've got it.
Yeah.
Do you know that? This church ain't a hard place to preach in. Hey, some of them that is. They some of them, my friend, that I wonder where in the world they come from. But the truth of it is, brethren, he's in all of us.
Yeah.
He is.
Yes,
it don't take me and you gathering together to get a, thank God, a blessing from the Lord. But I'm glad of what I feel around this place. Hallelujah. Y'all just going to let me preach.
Come on.
I can't. There's nothing tonight, brethren, that God won't do for his people.
Amen.
Nothing.
Praise the Lord.
Brethren, there's not anything in his house that you don't have access to.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Is it not a well of water springing up in you? Don't it? It does. I'll guarantee you, if you're a child of God, you can just be working around the house or on your job, and brethren, all of a sudden something starts bubbling.
Yeah.
Gets over on you that you just have to give out a little shout.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad, thank God, that I can be riding down the road and see him just pass by.
Yeah.
Not all the time. But brethren, he does. He lets his people know. I believe that. He lets his people know, my friend, that they are one of his.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, sir. New heaven and a new earth. One writer said, wherein dwelleth righteousness? Wherein dwelleth righteousness? Did you know that you was clothed? When you was born again, you was clothed. Thank God you was naked before, but now you've got clothes, my friend. And what clothes you, one thing, is righteousness. Is that not right? Do you know that prayer's a tool? Prayer's a tool. Prayer, you can get in touch with the Lord. It's not hard. It's not hard, folks. It's not hard to sit down and talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Preacher, I ain't gonna talk. Talk to him. It doesn't matter. It don't matter what this world thinks. I've got news for you. This world can't help you.
Yeah, amen.
They can do so much, but brethren, he can do a lot more. Why is that? Because he owns it all. Yes, he does. It's amazing what the Lord can do when me and you find our place. That's where the problem lies. When we find our place, brother, things will begin to get set in order. It doesn't matter if you are mean that you're going to have life abundantly. You know, a lot of people think that has got to do, my friend, with everything that you own, but that ain't what he's talking about. That's not the life abundant that he's talking about. It's not the things that you possess. The writer, Jesus himself, when they begin to talk about, the man asked him about his brother, I believe what it was. But anyway, he looked out. He said the man looked out and he saw his fields. They brought forth plenty. And he said to himself, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down them barns and I'll build me greater barns. And I'll fill them up and I'll say unto my soul, you know, that was the very key to that whole scripture. I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up. He could see. He could see the what he had. But the writer went on to say, thou fool.
Yeah.
Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall these things be? What good is it if your soul is not right? If your soul's not where it needs to be? You know, you say, preacher, I just don't understand why people can't humble themselves. The truth of it is, the hardest thing you'll ever do. The hardest thing. Now, Brother J.O. Jarrett said, you don't want to ask the Lord to humble you.
Yeah. Amen.
Because he can. Mm-hmm. But he said, you ask, you pray the Lord help you humble yourself. And he knew a little bit about that. He most certainly did. He knew a little bit. He said one night that he's probably the only one in the house that had a certificate saying he was a sane person.
Yeah.
And he's probably right. It's amazing what the Lord can do, what he will do. I'm not going to give you no excuse. I preached what I preached, and we'll let it lay, just like it is. Hopefully you got something out of it.
That's good.
I'd be lying if I told you I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed trying to preach to you now. I did. You know, the Lord knows the hearts of people. And you know.